Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production. Available on Apple Podcasts and Podcast One.
There is a place that is spoken about only in whispers. A dark area that spawns the beginnings of urban legends. A place where anything can happen and usually does. During the light of day, it hides just outside of view. But when the sun goes down, spirits, creatures of the night, roam free, and things do go bump in the night. It is in every state and every country, and there is no escaping it, no matter how safe you feel behind your locked doors and latched windows. So we invite you to turn down the lights and turn up your radio while we join Dave Schrader and Tim Dennis, your hosts, on a journey into the darkness on the edge of town.
Hello and welcome. The weekend is here, and damn it, you deserve the best in paranormal talk radio. So here we are. Welcome to Beyond the Darkness. I'm your host, Dave Schrader. That guy over there, Tim Dennis, sitting at the Supernatural News desk. We've got a lot to report on this week, Tim. A lot of unusual things taking place all around the world. So where shall we begin our journey today, sir?
You said unusual things, and where are we going to begin? And why not the White House, Dave?
Dun, 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 dun.
No.
Oh.
No. That's...
Sorry.
Basic school 101 there, buddy.
Oh. Long song?
Yeah. You would have failed the Merck and Music 101 on that one.
Is that humming the theme song to the great country of Canada?
Yeah, that's what it was.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Canada.
All right.
Yeah.
I always thought Tom Sawyer by Rush was the official anthem of Canada.
It should be, but it's not.
Yeah?
No.
All right.
No.
It's probably something by Celine Dion. Where shall we begin then? In the White House? Or on the White House? What is the story?
Around the White House, Dave.
Okay.
My Heart Will Go On actually is the official theme of Canada by Celine Dion. Yeah. Better get used to it. She's taken over the world. The White House was sent into lockdown over a slow-moving blob. You can insert your own joke if you want. A slow-moving blob has wreaked havoc in the White House, on the White House, around the White House, sending it into lockdown. But it may have just been a flock of birds. Not seagulls, Dave. I know where your mind is going.
And I ran so far away.
Yeah, and
I don't know why I kicked it with that little country twang at the end there.
I don't know.
Far away, yay.
I think you found a new career path for them. Without having to go on Career Builder, they could just call you. Yeah. Worked for Hootie.
His name is Darius Rucker.
Hootie.
Darius Rucker.
Hootie.
And I ran so far away, yay. I couldn't get away.
Hey, why not?
Yeah, that'll end up because of our good friend Bart L. as a meme online. I can already sense it now.
Mm-hmm.
All right, buddy. So blob, slow moving blob.
Yep.
White House lockdown.
Yep.
What?
Yep. There are three possible explanations for the old slow moving blob that sent the White House into lockdown.
Was one of them the Bart Simpson balloon from the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade broke free and was floating overhead?
I only wish, but oh. No.
Okay.
No. Birds, Dave, birds would be the first one. An atmospheric anomaly, that's the other one. The third one, not so fun, a drone.
Or aliens, Tim. Why must we always leave out the aliens?
Well, that's the least likely. We're talking the most likely.
Whatever.
Most for 500, Alex. Most likely. Yeah. A U.S. Capitol Police source told CNN it was still not known what happened, other than that there was a big slow-moving blob of something that caused concern. I'm glad the U.S. Capitol Police are on top of this deal, that they're just, you know, bent for leather. I don't know. Hell bent for leather,
yeah, I think exactly. Is the way the song used to say.
Yeah, something like that. And ready to go on this whole deal. The blob triggered a lockdown of the White House, and I don't know why those are funny words to read, but they are, and caused the U.S. Capitol to be placed on restrictive access this past Tuesday morning. It took about 11 minutes before the object reached a range of concern. The mysterious blob was seen on radar at the Capitol Police Command Center, flying just south of the National Mall. The outlet reported that military aircraft were scrambled in response after initial assessments indicated that the blob was an unauthorized aircraft entering restrictive airspace. The airspace around Washington is the most restricted of anywhere in the U.S., particularly after 9/11. Senior officials across the interagency are monitoring the situation on a national event conference call. NORAD aircraft are on site and responding. Plane is not considered hostile at this time, Pentagon spokesman Lieutenant Colonel Chris Mitchell said during the early stages of the event. U.S. Coast Guard helicopters found no threat when they arrived to intercept. Ground searches followed, looking for a possible drone. Two Capitol Police sources told CNN that the flying object was likely a flock of birds because it moved slowly and then dissipated. A pilot did not report seeing a flock of birds in the air.
Pilot, no flock of birds. Oh, it must be a flock of birds or a UFO, a cloaked alien craft, Tim.
And what, it was going to go all Independence Day on the bit?
It might have been. Maybe it was just checking in, seeing what was for Thanksgiving dinner, hoping it would be invited down instead of having jets scrambled, Tim, and being called a big flock of birds. That could be considered blasphemous to some alien cultures, I've been told.
By who?
People, Tim. The people. The famous they said it. I can't tell you anymore, Tim. If I did, it could put your life in jeopardy.
Okay. I see how that works.
Just trying to save lives. That's all I'm doing. I'm saving your life.
Thanks. I appreciate it. My gratitude goes your way. What do I say? And it sounds so disingenuous and flip, doesn't it? And we almost hit a flock of birds here at about 1,300, the pilot also reported. So much for that alien deal.
Whatever. Or was it a ship cloaked as a bunch of birds, Tim? Think about it.
So you're saying not only did the aliens barely get away, they're horrible, horrible drivers.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why you're so cynical about this, Tim. The science matches up.
The science of this flock of birds that almost got hit by a plane.
Tim, trust me, I'm hopped up on Twinkies and electrolyte-filled water. My mind is a highly functioning, attuned machine right now.
Ah, I see. Okay. I won't argue the point. I'm just reporting the news here, Dave. Reporting is what I'm doing. Retired Air Force Colonel Cedric Layton said a trained radar operator should be able to tell the difference, but it was a common mistake to make on older systems, which evidently they are working with. The situation was cleared about 45 minutes after the initial report. So they, Dave, are saying birds, which the pilot almost hit. Although you are saying, with your keenly trained eyes and Twinkie-filled passion, that it is aliens.
I'm just saying, Tim, when you got to go on Occam's razor. If it flies like a bird, looks like a bird, probably aliens, Tim. Probably aliens.
I see.
It's math. It's common core math. That explains it better, doesn't it? When I mentioned that it's common core math.
Yeah. That holds up.
I'm glad we can agree upon that, my friend. Mm-hmm. All right. Exciting stuff. Mm-hmm. Exciting things in the world taking place. Like calls from our listeners, Tim, to our Voices from Beyond voicemail. I got it right the first time this week. How do you like that?
I like it.
If you want to call in, we're thankful. See, it's coming off the heels of Thanksgiving, Tim. We're thankful for our listeners around the world. and we would like to hear your stories of the strange and supernatural, whether they're fun, creepy, weird, maybe you thought you were being haunted and it turned out it was just the dog farting. I don't know. We want to hear your story. 651-300-4977. I'll say that slower, Tim.
Mm-hmm.
651-300-4977. That was not easy to do.
No.
Well, hopped up on electrolyte water and Twinkies, my friend.
Yeah.
651-300-4977. Be a part of the memory that is Beyond the Darkness, just like this caller did.
Hey, guys. Hi, Dave. Hi, Tim. It's your girl from the Berg. Hey, you Yenzers. Have another story. I'm the one that called in about the house that my mom and dad bought, that whole thing. But anyway, this story, I was just listening to your podcast. Not only have they had the paranormal aspect, but they also had unidentified flying object of sorts. This house, I don't know if it's a vortex or what goes on, but again, it was when they first moved in. My aunt and uncle had stopped over to see their new house, of course. And as they were sitting in the family room talking, again, I was in bed. I was a toddler. So I was in bed, and the four of them were sitting out in the family room, and they had a large picture window that led out to their backyard. It was a flat backyard, and it was over an acre. There were other houses around. But the entire room, as they were sitting there talking, lit up bright green. I know it sounds crazy, but it was. It was bright green. And my mom and dad said that they just about knocked each other over to get out to that picture window to look. The entire sky was lit up. They didn't know what it was. And there was another light coming from the center of the yard, like up from the sky. So they called in, and back in the day, like in the 70s, there was a guy by the name of Stan Gordon. He's actually still out there, still does UFO and Bigfoot research. Wonderful man. They called him because the state troopers were getting inundated with calls for this area for Bigfoot and UFO sightings. So they called this man. He came out with a team of people that night, and they took soil samples. All of the trees were completely burnt on the top of the on the tops of all of the trees, and also they had the soil samples. Everything like became petrified in certain spots of the yard. So they never did find out what it was, but that's the one UFO story. And there's another one from when I was a little bit older that I actually did witness as well. But that's my parents' UFO story, and that's. Long story short, I did meet Stan Gordon probably about 5 years ago, and I introduced myself to him. He actually remembered that case in particular, and he said, your parents' story is actually in this book that I am signing today. And he went right to it, and sure enough, there was the story. Names were changed, of course, but my parents' story was in one of his books. So just thought that was a neat little story for you. All right, guys. Have a great day. I love you both. And Tim, this is your girl signing off. Talk to you later. Bye.
I like it. Keep them coming, folks. Keep them coming. We want to hear more of your stories. 651-300-4977. Speaking of stories, Tim, now that we've barely survived the alien invasion over the White House, what else is going on in the world around us?
We're going to try and survive a new Netflix series, Dave, that has to do with the most haunted places in America.
What?
Yeah. Yeah. It turns out that Netflix is now in the paranormal game when it comes to paranormal documentaries. Netflix will excels when it comes to creepy true crime and paranormal documentaries. And this one looks to be quite chilling as you take a look at it. This creepy new series examines the most haunted locations in America and is coming to a streaming service near you. The currently untitled Netflix series will come from Joe Berlinger, the director of the landmark documentary series Conversations with the Killer, the Ted Bundy tapes, and the crime drama on the same serial killer, Extremely Wicked, Shockingly Evil and Vile, which starred Zac Efron as Bundy. According to Variety, the series is described as a gritty and meticulous study of some of America's most notorious haunted locations. Perhaps there will be a visit to the house that inspired the Amityville Horror, this article goes on to wish. 112 Ocean Avenue is the town of Amity. 112 Ocean Avenue in the town of Amityville, New York, became notorious due to the story of George and Kathy Lutz, the previous residents who claimed that shortly after moving into the house, they came under fire from paranormal activity. In the same announcement as the series, Netflix has also revealed another documentary series from director Rudy Valdez, the man behind the Oscar-nominated documentary film Deliver Us from Evil about Catholic Church sex abuses. The series has also been described as similar to the hit U.S. drama Friday Night Lights, following an underdog football league in what has been dubbed the deadliest neighborhood in New York. Release dates for the two new series have yet to be confirmed. Until then, Netflix viewers can make do with the fascinating new series The Confession Killer, which examines convicted serial killer Henry Lee Lucas, who claimed to be responsible for a further list of deaths that he couldn't possibly have committed. So how was Lucas able to make such confessions, and why was he convicted? The new documentary series looks to shed some light on that matter.
Interesting.
Yeah.
All right. I like it. Sounds like another good show to add to our list of things to watch that I'll probably never get to, Tim, because I've got 2 billion other things to watch.
Well, there's that. Yeah.
2 billion other things. That's what's on my my plate here, Tim. But you know what I will watch?
What's
the new Holzer Files on the Travel Channel coming up this next week?
Yeah.
It's a doozy. It's a doozy. This last week in Texas, Henderson, Texas, we caught that vaporous... I hate to say the word ghost, man. I don't know what the hell else to refer to what we caught on film. A vaporous anomaly sounds almost dismissive of the fact of what we captured on film this past week, plus some great EVP. Well, we capture something pretty spectacular on this next episode. We're coming in to the final 3 episodes of the season, Tim, season 1, hopefully leading to a season 2. But these are our final 3 episodes. And in this next episode, another really bizarre story of the paranormal. Hans Holzer had a chance to visit this. They have not allowed anyone in officially to investigate since in 50 years. We were the first group allowed back in and to film, document the entire story. And we caught something that unnerved every cast member when we saw it happen live. So it's pretty cool. That's this coming Thursday on the Travel Channel. Holzer Files. Holzer Files. I only spell it that way, Tim, because I've seen some very strange iterations online.
Really? Like what?
People throwing an extra I or an extra E in there or an extra L. I've even seen people refer to it as the Holzer Files. It is not, in fact, the Holzer Files. It is the Holzer Files, Hans Holzer.
Right.
So check it out on the Travel Channel and watch it. If you haven't seen it yet, folks, watch it. What's wrong with you? If you love the paranormal, you should be watching. That's what I got to say about that. All right. Where are we off to next, sir?
We're going over that pond there.
Over there.
And we're going to talk about a mom who claims the ghost of a dead baby sister photobombed her Snapchat pic. Oh, that could be embarrassing, too. I mean, you know, depending on, you know, what filter you're using. Just saying. A mom was left gobsmacked after the ghost of her dead sister apparently photobombed her on Snapchat. 25-year-old Kelly Green spotted the creepy figure lurking behind her while chatting at home alone in Barnsley, South Yorkshire. The mom of one's pal sent back her pics showing a spooky figure looming behind her, just right over her right shoulder. Shocked, Kelly believes it could be the ghost of her dead sister. The image shows a female with long blonde hair partially obscuring her face. A frightened Kelly spoke to her dad, Derek, about the alleged ghostly visit. Derek, a ghost hunter, then suggested it could be Kelly's miscarried sister, Jessica, who died 2 years before she was born. Kelly said, "I was gobsmacked. I'm not freaked out or scared about it now, but I was a bit frightened at the time. I was on Snapchat to my friends, and no one else was around. And when I took that photo, in my living room, I didn't know about the figure until my friend sent it back circled, and I was shocked when I zoomed in on it. My mom and family are gobsmacked as well," she said. "My dad was saying that it could be their daughter that died from a miscarriage. They lost a baby before I was born and called her Jessica. He was proud and happy to see the figure. Kelly reckons the apparition has a look of me and my daughter's Scarlet Rose. She went on to say, this could be the sibling I never met. It's creepy to think the ghost looks like my daughter. It's like her auntie in a way. My dad thinks it's my sibling, but without him getting in contact, we don't know. Kelly is part of a Yorkshire-based ghost hunting group, Southwest Yorkshire Paranormal Team, along with her dad, Derek, and mom, Stephanie. The group conducts investigations across the Northwest, particularly focusing on Yorkshire and Manchester, as she's now wondering whether it's her dead sister watching over her family. Kelly appealed to members online for help. Some said they believe the figure was a little girl from the 18th century, noting her old-fashioned clothing. Kelly added, I'd been talking to someone on our team page from Canada, and he said he tried moving her across, but apparently this little girl has unfinished business in this area. It was quite creepy. Basically, the guy said that the little girl from around the 1700s or 1800s, based on her hair and what she was wearing, I don't know why she's there, he went on to say. Kelly said that when she spoke to her mom about the weird image, she asked, what the hell is in your property? However, her dad is positive that it is my sibling, but without getting in contact with the spirit, we don't know for sure. Our paranormal team are out to get the same thing as other people, to see if ghosts do really exist after life. I've not had anything move or touched in my property or anything banged, she said. If that time comes, I'll get my dad and the rest of the team to investigate, said Kelly. And there you go.
Well, that's, it's, you know, unnerving. Is it your sister? Is it your, I don't know. It's weird. It's a creepy picture too, because I'm actually looking at, that's why I sound so baffled here. I don't know. You know, it to me almost has that pattern of like a wood grain look.
Yeah.
But yep. It's a little too well defined. Are you seeing that?
Yeah, I do. And they have a version that's a little darker and a version that's been lightened up. When it's lightened up, you can definitely tell it looks like an underlit profile type.
Yeah.
You know, I can definitely, I see what you're saying with the wood grain and how it could have a bit of a pareidolia look to it. You know?
Yeah. That's right. I don't know. That was my first take. But as I looked at it, I mean, there was too much detail to it. It's a great picture. Very strange. I hope she gets the answers she's looking for. I got the answers I was looking for, Tim.
What's that?
Well, you know, having a couple days off and being able to lounge and do a little foot kicking up as the lovely Winnie prepared dinner for me.
Mm-hmm.
Not because I'm a sexist, Tim. Not because of any of that. It's simply because she's a much better cook than I am.
Ah, yes.
Yes. I helped clean up and I put things away. Does that count?
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah. But as a cook, not so good. So instead, I was sitting there surfing Pluto TV, Tim, which I love to watch because there's something for every one of our family members to enjoy on Pluto TV. But you know my favorite thing about Pluto TV, Tim?
What's that?
Free.
It's free.
Free, Tim. It's the leading free streaming television service in the world.
Wow.
I must be serious because I put a lot of inflection on in the world where you can watch over 100 TV channels, thousands of movies, all on demand, all for free. No credit card needed. No sign up. No siree, Bob. Pluto TV is the easy and completely legal way to watch your favorite TV shows and hit movies. So stop sitting around wondering and waiting. Nobody's going to come set it up for you. It's a free download. Never pay for TV again, people. Cut the bonds. Put that money back in your pocket. And you know what people should do, Tim? Put that money back in their pocket and treat themselves right.
Oh, yeah.
Download Pluto TV for free on all of your favorite devices today. On your phone, Roku, Amazon Fire TV, Apple TV, smart TVs, PlayStations. Hell, anywhere that you stream, get yourself Pluto TV because, damn it, you deserve it. With all that money they're saving, Tim.
Oh, yeah.
I'm just going to put this out to the universe. Mm-hmm. With all that money that they're saving, I think they should throw a little bit to their buddies on True Crime Tuesday.
Well, yeah, Yeah.
Listen, folks, we're at a point. We need more subscribers. We always need more subscribers. But we're really at a point where, you know, to keep everything in the machine running, we'd like you to subscribe. It's $5 a month, a crummy $5 bill. I'm willing to bet if you dig in your kid's top drawer in their bedroom or bathroom, you'll find the money. You could just pay for it with their cash. Why not? It's a true crime program. Why not be part of the true crime?
I don't think you want to do it that way, though, Dave.
$5. That's all it takes, kids. $5. So just do this. Subscribe to True Crime Tuesday. Help support your buddies, because when you subscribe to True Crime Tuesday, that helps keep this show on the air as well. Listen, radio, I know many of you think, oh, guys, this is the career. You are multi-millionaires. Well, only one of the two of us is, and his name rhymes with Slim Penis.
I am not a multi-millionaire.
And, he's a multi-millionaire of the two of us, but it's nothing to do with radio. He invested early in Pet Rocks and in Tamagotchi digital toy friends. He got into that a little early, he did. Made some money, some bank, but not in radio, folks. So You're supporting us by supporting the sponsors you hear on this show. On this show, Tim.
In this show,
I don't know why I suddenly went into an accent. When you watch this show and you listen to this show and you support the advertisers, that helps the show continue to stay on and be successful. But what also helps us is if you go subscribe to True Crime Tuesday. It's very simple. Just go to patreon.com, patreon.com/truecrimetuesday, all one word. patreon.com/truecrimetuesday. Subscribe. Never miss a minute in the best in true crime talk radio. It's $5 a month. You get one brand new episode every week, plus archives going back two and a half years. And it gives you, there's like over 130 episodes waiting for you to dive in and be a part of our world. You can be spooked along with the serial killer stories and a laugh along with dumb crimes and stupid criminals. And it would be a big favor to your buddies, Dave and Tim, because that, again, that is our livelihood. That's what helps support programs like this. And we try to keep this limited commercials on this show and no commercials on True Crime Tuesday. So by supporting us and subscribing, that helps keep both shows afloat. And we'd like to be around for a good long time. But I'm going to be honest with you. We need your help. We need you to subscribe and subscribe now. And keep tuned into the show, because there's some big changes coming. There's some cool changes on the horizon for your pals here at Beyond the Darkness. So keep checking darknessradio.com for updates. We'll have those coming out sometime in the next couple of weeks. Darknessradio.com. Check for updates on this program. All right, Tim, where are we going next in the world of supernatural news?
Brownsville, Texas, where...
Dun, 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 dun.
No, I think they'd be a little offended there in Brownsville, Texas, if you broke that out as a state anthem. Okay. Yeah, just a little bit. I don't think he'd be welcome back. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. A local film crew is claiming a haunting on 13th Street. They're doing a whole deal there. Let me read this story, and I'll explain a little better. That was not a very good way to start it out. Let's just...
Well, that was a weak kick. I'm going to be honest with you. A weak kick, but okay. And take two.
Okay. Let's just jump into it. Brownsville, Texas. Dave, a local film crew, gets a surprise of a lifetime as a movie shoot turns into an alleged paranormal experience. They claim a house on 13th Street is haunted, and they have the proof to back it up. Filmmaker Alcario Sedena wanted to recreate memories of a haunting that he claimed happened to him early in his life. However, little did he expect to end up filming at a supposed haunted location. He claims that he even reached out to paranormal investigators, where he found the house he chose for his movie had a history with the unknown. Alcario Sedena, film director, said, "I told them, paranormal investigators, that is, that I was, it was on the on 13th Street. And he said, "Is it on the corner?" And he said, "Yeah, it's on the corner." Well, he knew exactly what house it was. "That house has a history," Sedena said. According to him, they found images of a little girl, several orbs, and were being followed during the filming process. He says that the happenings prompted them to expand their experience in the film. Thomas Hotkovig, I believe is what the last name is, RGV Paranormal Investigation, said, "We were just being ourselves, just conducting ourselves in the same way or on any other paranormal investigation we conduct." Bonnie Salazar of RGV Paranormal Investigation said, "So it was a surprise when we walked up on the porch, went in the house and said, okay, somebody's here, but is it real? While some of us remain skeptical, the crew claims that they have proof on video and will share it during the release of the film on Friday, November 29th.
Wow, so yesterday they released it.
Yeah, it was yesterday, I guess.
All right, yeah. Very cool. All right, well, we wish them all much success. That's all I got to say about that, Tim.
Yeah, yep, yep.
Success and well. Hi, Dave and Tim. That's how this email begins.
Hello.
First, I'd like to thank the two of you for all your hard work and dedication to us listeners and the paranormal community. Second, thanks goes to fostering a bond between me and my father. Our relationship has not always been even keel. We now like to discuss the goings-on and shenanigans of you two and even pick each other's brains of aired episodes and even do a little evil laugh when we see a McDonald's sign, McRib here now.
Oh, no.
I don't even know that I want to read the rest of the email if they're just going to play with me like this,
no,
too.
No, it's fine.
This is the way a daughter and father bond is in mocking my cravings for the elusive unicorn-like McRib in our state, Tim. This is the thanks we get. Oh, thank you, guys. You're so great. All your hard work and dedication. We have McRib and you don't, fatty, fatty.
Well, I don't think they threw the fatty, fatty part in.
They might as well have, Tim. That's how it feels. The letter goes on to say, I have a lot of stories I'd love to share with y'all and the listeners, but since my grandmother's passing this month, I have a story and a question to you both and the listeners. All right. You've tugged at my heartstrings. Let's see what she has to share. I've always been sensitive and no stranger to paranormal occurrences. I have a strong intuition that's allowed me to read people's character very early on, knowing them, to knowing when a loved one has relapsed from their addiction, to knowing what people are going to say before they say it, and more. It also comes and goes in waves, but something that's always been fairly constant is my awareness of energy and spirits communicating with me or around me. With this story I'm about to share, I can't help but wonder if there's more to it. 3 years ago, my parents moved into their current house. Me and my partner live with my mom and dad, and we save up for our first home. My grandmother lived on the first floor in the master suite, and we shared the upstairs with my parents. Since living here, I noticed noises coming from the walls and attic. It was few and far in between. It was slow at first, and most noises were debunked, as we'd find bat and mice droppings in the attic. Me and my partner's bed is tucked into a pocket window. When we had the mice problem, we could hear the scratches in the walls. Just trying to bring back a little PTSD.
I was going to say that mice has good flange on that guitar, whatever it's playing at. Yeah, it's nice.
Some nights, it'd be like surround sound with our bed in the pocket window. But along with the scratches, we began to hear thuds. Boom, 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 boom. Yeah, right. The old General Cinemas theme.
Yeah.
It sounded like someone when they accidentally knock into a wall or elbow it. We kept chalking it up to rambunctious mice.
Oh, boy. Come on, guys. Let's play some touch football.
But the noises then began in the attic above our bedroom, along with the thuds in the walls. Boom, 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 boom. Of course, my overactive imagination started flashing back to the movie scene in Hereditary with the findings in their attic. Oh, I'll be as vague as I don't want to give away any spoilers. I do. The movie sucked. Don't waste your time, folks. Find something better to watch. I began to ask my parents if they had been hearing thuds in the walls and ceilings, ones that appeared to be too loud for mice.
Racist.
Hey, now, Mickey, relax. They said no, which was odd to me, as we all shared the upstairs together. And the attic was the whole span of the upstairs, and me and my parents' bedrooms are on the same end. Well, this past year, my grandmother's health was really declining. She had a five-hour-long shoulder replacement surgery and fluid buildup on her lungs from the increase of fluids they pumped into her. Mm. With her having AFib, it made it difficult for her to fully work that fluid out of her lungs. A few months back during the surgery recovery, we almost lost her in the hospital when a nurse overprescribed pain medication and not being mindful of her AFib. Hmm. By the grace of God, my grandmother fought her ass off and pulled through. She was hours away from being placed on a ventilator, one which the doctor said because of her aging condition, she'd never be coming off of. Plus, it was against her wishes to be placed on one. So after a lot of hard work, she finally got to come home after some major rehabbing and recovery. My mom and I became very diligent with my grandmother's care as she was in a sling for 6 weeks and also suffered from memory loss from the surgery and complications, as well as loss of mobility from being in ICU for 2 weeks and losing muscle mass. In those last few months, the noises in the attic and walls really amped up in frequency compared to what it had been. At the end of the month, October, we took a family vacation with my grandmother. The week after we got back from the vacation, her health plummeted. At the time, we were shocked, and still, to be honest, are. She just passed 3 weeks ago. But now, reading hospice material, I now know my grandmother was in pre-death stages. On Halloween, she was rushed to the ER, where we were told she had hours to live, that her body was in septic shock. We had a last-ditch effort, as the doctor called it, to try and find the source of the infection. It was found, and the first day after testing and finding the internal source of the infection, we had hopeful signs of her pulling through once more. Come the end of day one, we knew she wasn't going to be able to pull through. During this time, we had a family staying at the house. The evening, a day or two, the friend texted me and told me how they were hearing noises in the ceiling from the room they were staying in, which was on the opposite side of the upstairs from my room. I initially thought it was odd, not that they were hearing noises, but odd that she was hearing them on the opposite side of the house from my room. Much later that evening, a day or two, I came home from the hospital to rest. After falling asleep, I began to hear the thuds. I slept through them as they were pretty normal for me. Then they began to get louder and louder, eventually waking me up. I was sitting up in bed listening to the sporadic thuds. The thuds began to sound like bowling balls being dropped in the attic. I could hear the noise coming from above my room out to above the outside of my room in the hallway and down to the other side of the upstairs, just as the family friend had told me she had been hearing late in the day. Day three of my grandmother's final hours in the hospital, she was still holding on but getting closer to passing. That day, I told her our goodbyes, as I knew the departure of my grandmother would be too hard for me to witness. That evening, I went home as my mother, aunt, and father and uncle stayed at the hospital. I passed out that evening from emotional exhaustion, figuratively. I was resting really well when something kind of woke me up. I don't recall it being a noise, as the noises in the house had been non-existent. It was almost like a thought woke me up. I woke and said to myself, "It's quiet tonight," in reference to the walls in the attic. "I bet tonight will be her last night." As I was falling back asleep, I was speaking to my grandmother in my mind and telling her how much I loved her, even though she'd been a pain in the butt. We've always had the sarcastic and poke fun kind of humor in our family. I told her we always butted heads because we were so much alike, especially since we were both Aquarius and only born a day apart and so on. I eventually fell back asleep. That next morning, day four, I received a text from my father at a little after 10 a.m. She was gone. She passed on November 4th. I'm writing to you on November 25th. Since November 3rd, me nor my partner have heard a single noise in the attic or walls, though me and my mom both have had my grandmother come to us in a dream from a dream form a total of 3 times since her passing. And we believe she's done little things in the house since her passing for us, like turn the thermostat to 74, her favorite temperature. She changed the thermostat to when everyone would go to sleep. Last week, I had a dream of her. It was the final dream between me and my mom. The dream was of me and my mom visiting my grandmother in her first and only home in Virginia. It was the home my grandmother and deceased grandfather raised my mom and aunt in, and me, my brother, and my cousin spent all of our childhood Christmases at. She was standing in the kitchen, and me and my mom walked through the front door. She looked to be the age she was when she passed, though she hadn't lived in that house for a solid 14 years. She was happy and standing there with a smile. Now, having time to think over the dream, I think she was telling me she was finally home. Since that dream, I haven't heard or received any other signs from her, and to this day, not a single noise in the attic or walls. My question is, I don't recall hearing other stories like this. I've heard of those close to their passing being visited by other spirits, calling them to pass over, but what about loved ones of the deceased and them experiencing such activity? Was it my grandmother's soul half here, half in the next realm? Was it someone else who had crossed over? Were the noises signs to me or us that her health was declining? I'm sure I'll never know, but I was curious if you or Tim or even the listeners had ever heard or experienced anything similar. Thanks for all your time. Much love and blessings to you both. Bree from Atlanta, Georgia. Well, Bree, we're sorry for your loss. That's called a shared near-death experience or deathbed experience when living or having strange things happen during a passing. It very well could be somebody that was kicking around literally waiting for her. And when it finally was her time, the other spirit left and went with her. So maybe a grandfather or another relative, that's a possibility. Could it have been her bilocating, her physical form in the hospital deteriorating while her soul form is visiting elsewhere and letting you know she's there? Listen, if you're a goofy, sarcastic family that likes to poke fun at one another, sure seems like it might make sense that she would be there kicking up and letting everybody know she was still around. So, unfortunately, like you mentioned, there's no definitive answer for any of this. But, if it's settled since, I think it definitely ties in with her passing and her ill health. But we're glad she's in a better place now. And I'm glad that you and your family were able to be there for her. So I have nothing much more to add than that. Tim, you?
I've never seen that particular phenomenon that she's talking about. But when my stepdad passed away, the same day he passed away, the same types of knocks and thuds we heard all over the house, but we also experienced lights flickering on and off, doors swinging open and shut. I mean, but those signs were him telling us that he was there, that he was acknowledging that he was still there, because he really believed that once we died, you just dispersed to the four winds and you were gone. So that was his way, I think, of just saying, hey, I'm here, I'm here, I'm here. So the thing that just like Dave said, I believe he's correct in this, that it's either a bilocating type thing where as that veil is thinning, she's almost in two places at one time. Her spirit is both in her body, but yet bilocating back to the house. Or you do have a relative from the other side who's getting ready to welcome her and bring her back home and is in that house and preparing for her and preparing to bring her back over.
Well, again, we're sorry for your loss. Thank you for taking time to write in, and thank you. And I'm glad that you can share Darkness Radio with your father and that has helped you to bond. So I'm very happy to hear that. All right, Tim, before the break, where are we going next?
Back to TV land, Dave, where Expedition Bigfoot may finally reveal the well-known cryptic legend. I guess a guest appearance, maybe, on the episode. I could see.
Oh, if his agent finally relents. I've been trying to get him on the show for a while, and his agent's playing hardball.
Is that what it is, really? I would think just maybe Twinkies and some ribs tied to a tree.
That's what I tried, too. I tried some ribs and Twinkies. Didn't work. I've got this voicemail from him.
Yeah, hey, Dave, got your messages, but listen, I'm a little busy right now. I'm going to have you talk to my people. Just leave your name and number on the voicemail, and my people will reach out to you.
Jesus, he sounds just like Rolf the dog.
Beetlejuice is what I've been told.
Really?
Sounds very Beetlejuicean.
Who says
is that?
That
a thing? Beetlejuicean?
Beetlejuicean. I believe it was one of the Roman Empire.
Yes.
Yeah.
Welcome.
Yeah.
Welcome, Emperor Beetlejuicean.
Yes, I believe it was shortly before Nero. I think that was the Beetlejuicean period of the Roman Empire.
So go on. I'm sorry. Bigfoot expedition.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Expedition unknown. Everyone knows the best way to get answers is to mix science and myth, and Expedition Bigfoot does just that. Miriam Mayer? Yeah. Yep. Leads a group of Bigfoot experts in the new Travel Channel show that blends technology and over 10,000 eyewitness accounts to locate the legend. The show follows Dr. Mayer, Bryce Johnson, Russell Accord, Johnny LeBlanc, and Ryan RPG Golombeski. I like that nickname, RPG.
That's a role-playing guy?
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, there's that. Yeah. And that's, I'm not saying that's why I like it, but, you know, to an undisclosed location in Oregon as the team attempts to find Bigfoot once and for all. The cast leading this expedition follows the basic philosophy of the show, combining concrete science and myth. Dr. Mayer is a world-renowned primatologist, Fulbright scholar, and Emmy Award-winning correspondent for the National Geographic Channel. She was raised in Miami, Florida, as the daughter of Cuban immigrants. Also, it'd be Mayor, not Mayor. It's Mayor, Dave, if it's Cuban.
Like Mayor McCheese?
No, that was never a thing.
It was. There was Mayor McCheese from McDonald's. You don't remember him?
Mayor McCheese, Grimace. Not Mayor.
Yep. Yeah, it was Mayor McCheese. I promise you, there was a Mayor McCheese.
Mayor McCheese. Not Mayor.
M-A-Y-O-R, Mayor. Just saying. You speak the Queen's English properly, Tim, as I am oft to do.
I see.
Anyway.
The Queen of Cuba?
No, not that either.
Okay. So she was raised in Miami, Florida, as the daughter of Cuban immigrants, going on to earn her bachelor's degree in anthropology and English at the University of Miami, and PhD from Stony Brook University. Most recently, she joined Florida International University as Director of Exploration and Science Communication Initiative. She is widely known as the female Indiana Jones for her expertise in the field. She is joined by Bryce Johnson, host of the podcast Bigfoot Collectors Club. And how can you be a Bigfoot collector if they've never found him?
Well, there's that line of Bigfoot baseball cards that came out.
Oh, right. Okay. Yeah. Gotcha.
Yeah. Okay. Upper Deck put out these Sasquatch Chronicle cards.
Wouldn't that be horrible if Bigfoot took an Upper Decker in your house? I'm just saying, now that you said that.
All right. Go on.
You put the thought in my head. All right. And lifelong Bigfoot enthusiast, that would be Bryce Johnson. Russell Accord is a retired Army sergeant. Sorry. This image of Bigfoot in my head. Retired Army sergeant and skilled survivalist. Ronnie LeBlanc is a globally recognized figure in the paranormal world and host of the Monsterland podcast. And Ryan RPG Golombeski is a born Bigfoot hunter who's followed his family's passion for paranormal around the globe. Tune into the premiere of Expedition Bigfoot on December 8th at 10 p.m. Eastern Time on the Travel Channel. And be sure to follow Travel Channel on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. So there you go.
All right, let's take a quick break. We'll be back with more of the best in paranormal and supernatural news and your stories right here on Beyond the Darkness. I'm so excited to be welcoming Hot Boxing with Mike Tyson to the Podcast One family. Listen as Mike Tyson, the baddest man on the planet, pours his soul into conversations with fascinating minds, celebrities, and athletes. Along with his cosmic millennial sidekick and former NFLer, Eben Britton, Kid Dynamite dives deep into the issues impacting us all today. This podcast will change the way you see the world. Don't miss Hot Boxing with Mike Tyson every week on Apple Podcasts and Podcast One.
Beyond the Darkness.
We're back. This is the best in paranormal talk radio. You're listening to Beyond the Darkness. And do us a favor, folks. Make sure you rate and review all of these great programs, especially ours. If you're listening to us over on iTunes, go on over, give us 5 stars, give us a great review, help push us out into the open so more and more people can find our show on iTunes. Do it. It's the right thing to do. I'm just saying, try it. You'll like it. Go rate and review us 5 stars. It's a gift that keeps on giving. All right, Tim, where are we going next in the world of supernatural news?
Straight to YouTube and video, Dave, where a YouTuber, supposedly a famous YouTuber, I don't know. I don't do the YouTube thing, Dave, but she was pushed on some stairs paranormally. So we're going to talk about that for a second. YouTuber Daisy Marquez catches paranormal activity on video, says something pushed her down the stairs. The makeup artist reacts as the door behind her mysteriously opens. Prominent beauty YouTuber Daisy Marquez uploaded a bizarre video to Twitter on Thursday that appears to show a door behind her opening on its own. The 22-year-old self-taught makeup artist, I could make a really bad comment here, but I won't, with more than 1.3 million YouTube subscribers, says the incident unfolded while filming a sponsorship video. Marquez can be seen discussing an ELF skincare set when the door behind her suddenly opens, causing the young entrepreneur to stare wide-eyed into the camera. A seemingly bewildered Marquez remains speechless throughout the video, before finally turning off the camera. In a follow-up tweet, the YouTuber claims the incident was alarming due to the fact that she had fallen down the stairs earlier that day. Not only that, Marquez claims that it felt as if she was pushed by something prior to the fall. "I'm trying to put two and two together, and I find it so weird that I fell down the stairs earlier today," Marquez wrote. "I didn't trip. I wasn't on my phone. I legit just fell down the stairs as if something pushed me. I find it so bizarre and scary now that this just happened." Marquez's fans were quick to provide answers for why they think the door was opened, ranging from the paranormal to more simplistic explanations. In response to one supporter, Marquez claims to have previously moved after experiencing paranormal activity at previous residences. The respondent asked, "Haven't you had previous paranormal experiences?" And Daisy says, "Yes, but I moved." Another user suggested, however, that the door likely opened due to air pressure changes from the air conditioning turning on. But Marquez said that you can hear the AC turn on at the end of the video, which is why she finds it so scary. Whatever the cause, the incident appears to have seriously spooked Marquez. The YouTuber's supporters also provided a list of remedies that included everything from Jesus to incense. I didn't know Jesus tripped people. I thought that was a big no-no.
Well, you know, when you're the son of God, you can get away with a lot.
I guess, yeah. You know, every once in a while.
Hey, it wasn't me. I'm Jesus. And everybody's like, oh, yeah, Jesus wouldn't do it. And then he giggles.
He's like, you know, I'm so sick. Yeah. So sick.
It's pranking healing with Jesus.
He's like, I'm so sick of healing people. And darn you.
He's got a new show called Messed With by the Messiah. Going to be on MTV this fall.
Produced by Ashton Kutcher. Others accused the makeup artist of staging the video entirely just to gain clicks. Am I the only one that thinks this is too staged? Twitter user @odarlin_ wrote, having seen Daisy's videos, she probably would never film in that lighting, and it looks straight out clickbait, considering she posted about going on house hunting a few days before posting. This was the end of that post itself. For what it's worth, Marquez denied staging the video and claimed it was recorded in the bathroom because of the skincare product being reviewed. "I had to review that gift set after I was done with my day, hence as to why I was filming so late. And since it's skincare, I had to film in the restroom, but I didn't want to take my huge ring light in there, so I used my phone to film," the YouTuber explained. "You'll understand once the whole video comes out." The video in question has yet to drop on YouTube, but fans are eagerly waiting. So there you go.
Eagerly, with bated breath. But, you know, it's funny to me. If you capture something cool, nobody believes you.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's too clear, it must be staged. But if it's blurry, oh, it's not true, because with all of our cameras, how would we not capture something better? We're in a no-win situation where it comes to the paranormal now, Tim.
That's very true. Very
people
true.
Demand better proof, but if we give them better proof, it looks even more fake.
Yeah, very true.
Yeah. Yep. Crazy. crazy stuff. All right, let me see. I know I had another story here I wanted to share. Dave, in your Past Lives episode, you mentioned twins. I don't know about afterlife connection, but I'm a twin. When I was 13 years old, my brother drove an ATV off a cliff, and I was 200 miles away playing in a baseball game. When I felt his pain, I was absolutely crippled and had to be taken to a hospital. We thought I was having a heart attack because it felt like my chest was being crushed. My brother's chest had been crushed against the handlebars. As we were on the way to the hospital, my mom saw my dad driving toward the baseball field frantically with the news. He was fine and was not on death's door, so it wasn't a near-death experience. It's never happened since, but it was the strangest thing I've ever experienced. By the way, the doctor said I was in perfect health, and that comes from Lenny. That's cool. I mean, it's not cool that your brother had that accident, but that you you had that kind of connection to him. That, see, that the whole twinning thing, Tim, I don't know. That's pretty powerful.
The twin connection and that phenomenon you're talking about right there is something
that what?
Phenomenon, Dave.
Do, 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 do. That what?
Phenomenon.
Do, 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 do. Tell me again, Tim.
A phenomenon, Dave.
Anyway, what were you saying about that, Tim?
That thing is actually more common than you know, the sharing of pain and emotion between two twins and that psychic, almost psychic or link.
Right.
And it's been studied by science, and there's actually papers that have been published on that entire thing.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Dave, I'd like to share a story with you. In 2008, my son Gunnar Zwilling was killed in Afghanistan. That was a devastating time for my family. You can plug his name into the internet and see him. Anyway, for about 2 months after his death, he stayed in our home in spirit. He stayed to make sure we would be okay and get on with life. I was not a believer at that time until one night I was having a rough time and I felt him come into my room. He reached out and clasped my hand to let me know he was fine and not to worry about him. A couple of weeks later, I spoke with him and told him to be happy and move on. His spirit left me that night and left me with that special gift of knowledge of what's to come. And I feel nothing but gratitude for that gift. Best regards. And that comes from Kurt. Well, thank you, Kurt. Thank you for sharing that very tender story. And thank you to your son for serving our country in that way. I'm so sorry for your loss. What a remarkable thing, though, to feel somebody, the spirit of your loved one, come in and hold your hand and kind of give you that acknowledgement that you need, Tim.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Beautiful story. Thank you so much for sharing. All right. Where shall we go next, sir?
Boy, I don't even know how to tell you this. South Africa. That's where we're going. When your cat stares at a wall, Dave, and moves its eyes around, this article is saying just run. That's what you should do. I don't know. I think don't cats do that quite a bit?
Hey, yeah, I think so.
Wouldn't you be running all the time?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cats are goofy.
Yeah. South Africa abounds with spiritual stories with the mysterious taxi driving cat, which I would never hire for a fare, just with the latest weird concoction to befuddle our brains. It is this, a Kulinin, I believe is what it is, a small town just outside Pretoria, may be known for its diamond mine with a pit hole that is four times bigger than the Kimberley hole. Keep reading.
Yeah, I'm just going to let that go. Anyway.
But to paranormal fanatics, the town abounds with action from those who are no longer with us. Tonight, ladies and gentlemen, we shall not be dealing with the world as you know it, the world of the solid, but rather the world of the unsolid. When we're at the McHandy or the cemetery, you might find that something unsolid may be lurking behind you, in which case be prepared for something rather solid to appear before you, explained Mark Rose Christie, founder of the Mystery Ghost Bus. Rose Christie visited the town and heard many ghost stories from locals who claim to have seen mysterious beings. According to Rose Christie, people have always believed in the spirit world, and it is evident in some cultures that still send possessions to their deceased in the belief that they will need these possessions in the afterlife. One such group of people are the Chinese, who believe that when someone dies, their soul stays on Earth for 21 days. They feel its presence, talk to it, and make its bed. On day 21, they make a wooden tablet with its name engraved on it and take it to the cemetery. They ask for the person's soul to leave this world and then take the tablet to their ancestral home. They believe the person gets reincarnated from there. Since they believe in reincarnation, they also believe the deceased will need whatever they had when they were still alive. They buy a special paper that is used to make items for such as a car, house, phone, etc., then go to an ancestral house and burn them. The smoke will deliver the items to their loved ones. Everything is made out of energy, either bunched up to look solid or spread out to look like nothing, says Rose Christie. According to him, there are different types of ghosts. There's the replay ghost, which is not interactive and does not look solid. It looks more like an image or a hologram, so they will not interact with you. They're just supposedly imprints on the environment, like an energy imprint. The moment it comes into contact with something like metal or electricity, it will disturb and break down the energy. It also fades in bright moonlight. There's the interactive ghost, and this one looks solid, according to Rose Christie. And then there's the crisis ghost. It's interactive. Most of them are people who died so suddenly, they don't even know that they're dead. The good ones come back to do good, while others come back to do bad or get revenge. A crisis ghost appears when the deceased went through a crisis, and it can appear repeatedly. It also appears when those left behind are also going through a crisis. Dead pets, dogs, and cats will come back from the afterlife when their owners are undergoing a crisis or to warn them of impending danger, says Rose Christie. He shared a story of Evelina, one of the children of the McCarty family, whose house has been turned into a museum in Cullinan. Evelina had a boyfriend who was in the Second World War and was a pilot. Locals say that when they look at her bedroom window, they see a lady looking out sadly. Another story is that of a lantern lady or lady of the lantern at a railway station in Cullinan. Locals have apparently seen a lady dressed in her nightgown with a shawl who carries a lantern. She walks along the tracks. Airports, railway stations, there are always ghosts there because people die and emotions get imprinted on the environment, he said. Two psychics and one sensitive person all confirm she's a lady in a state of confusion and lives near the station and is looking for her boyfriend that never came back from the war, said Rose Christie. Mammals, especially cats, can see these spirits or auras as so-called by psychics. Horses, dogs, and cats, especially cats, can see these auras, spirits, or whatever you want to call them. You know those times when you're alone and you're feeling a bit nervous and there's just a low light burning in the room and you're reading a newspaper and your cat is sitting in a corner? Rose Christie says its eyes suddenly get round and big and it starts following around something in the room that you cannot see and you ask yourself what it's looking at. Well, it's looking at an astral body that you can't see. So the next time you're at home alone and it happens, don't ask what it's looking at. Just run. It's so much easier.
Just run.
This is what Rose Christie said to a round of applause accompanied by laughter from about 20 curious ghost hunters. Coincidentally, South Africans have been in a bit of shock already following claims of a cat that has apparently been seen driving a taxi from Four Ways to Brie, a taxi rank.
Wasn't that Toonsis, the car driving cat from Saturday
Night? Yes, it was Toonsis, the driving cat. Yeah. By the way, it never ends well. It always goes over a cliff. This started on Saturday after Twitter user Nulathando Zuma asked social media users if she was the only one who was aware of the apparent cat-turned-taxi driver. The thread has been trending ever since. The first time that I took that taxi, I asked the lady sitting next to me what was going on, and she whispered, "Islamuzi." I'm not sure what that means. I just need one person to confirm that that they've taken this taxi as well. I know I'm not crazy because the first time I took this taxi, I was with my friend. Next thing he tells me is he can't feel his heartbeat. This was in October, she said. This prompted responses from those who claimed to have also seen this mystery cat driver in action. They actually have a picture of the driver's license from the city of Joburg, by the way. if you go on Twitter to @cityofjoburgZA, you can actually see the tweet with the driver's license. It's quite funny. And then that's pretty much the story there. But there's a bunch of different tweets that are kind of funny that I could read, but I don't know that they translate very well over radio. One of them is Noluthandu Zuma's tweet that says, "Do you guys know the taxi from Four Ways to Brie that's driven by a cat?" And at Tiffany Mob says, "Girl, I was in this taxi 2 weeks ago and I was shivering so bad when I got off. I had an exam that morning and I couldn't even write in fear. Had to call my man and he prayed for me because, wow." If you're in a taxi driven by a cat, do you really do anything after that for the rest of the day?
No. I think you pretty much just you go home, kick your feet up, and say, you know what, my bucket list is completed for today.
Yeah, I got nothing else to do.
I got nothing else to do. There's, you know, I've overachieved.
Yeah.
Speaking of overachieving, we've got another phone call to our Voices from Beyond voicemail, 651-300-4977. Be a part of the show, just like this caller.
Hi, Dave and Tim. This is Mary. Thank you for putting my story up on Halloween about my college. Now you're encouraging me, so I'm going to tell you another one. It's probably the second coolest story I have about some paranormal experiences. It's the second coolest because it wasn't prolonged, but it was very intense. And if you don't want to air it anytime soon because you're sick of my voice, I promise to not take it personally. I'm a big fan. So this one started with, again, I was living in Virginia at the time, and I was married to a guy who worked in the restaurant business, and so he was always busy on the weekends, and I was sort of by myself before we had kids, and so my friend and I, whose husband was also in the restaurant business, decided that we would do something fun and drive down Skyline Drive, which is like a beautiful drive through the mountains in western Virginia, and try to drive all the way to Charlottesville. And as we got closer to Charlottesville, we noticed that there were all these signs. This is before iPhones and GPS and stuff like that. Well, I think there was GPS, but not the straightforward, like, we want to find, you know, a winery. Like, there was nothing like that. But we noticed the bottom of Skyline Drive where you get off to go to Charlottesville, there were all these signs down there that had grapes and were, you know, directing you towards a local vineyard. And it was late in the day and we thought, well, that'd be fun. So we found one and it was up on this mountain and the deck on the back was gorgeous. And as we were leaving to go to, we were staying literally at a Motel 6 in Charlottesville, but just to like go and check it out and then spend the night, come back the next day. But we took a card as we were leaving the winery, and it said that they had a guest house, which we didn't see when we were there. But it kind of got me thinking because my husband at the time's family was always super generous with Christmas gifts, but December was always kind of a tough time for us, the end of the year, because my husband had to work all the time to make money, and then we didn't really have it until the last minute. So where we had got lots of nice gifts from them, we felt like we weren't always able to compensate. We were super house poor with the place that we had bought. And I had an idea. So I said to him, you know, why don't we invite your mom and your sisters to come down in the spring? So after we get our tax return and we can set aside some money from the Christmas stuff, you know, we could take them on a little weekend to this cool winery. They have a guest house. Beautiful. We could drive Skyline Drive. They'd love it. And that's what we decided to do. So we made them this cool card and they were all into it. And so they booked their trip. We did the drive. We packed a cooler of steaks and snacks and made a bonfire when we got there and bought some wine from the vineyard and had a great time. After a couple of bottles of wine, and we'd all picked our rooms. There were two full rooms downstairs and there were two sort of sleeping alcoves upstairs, and it was an old schoolhouse that the vineyard, it came with the property that the vineyard was on. They'd done a nice job fixing it up. And after we were all kind of ready to go to bed, one of my ex-husband's sisters had read the guest book and said, oh my gosh, you guys, there's a lot of ghost stories. And because I'm kind of sensitive to that stuff, I was like, don't even tell me, I don't even want to know. But one of the things that the book said was that often in the middle of the night, all the alarm clocks in the house go off at once, or the kitchen appliances will go off. So we agreed to unplug everything and just go to bed. So in the middle of the night, I heard somebody walking up and down the stairs, and it kind of woke me up a little bit, and I thought it was weird, but I figured it was my then husband's sister or her boyfriend, you know, going up to go to the bathroom. There was a bathroom upstairs. There was also a bathroom downstairs, but being half asleep, I didn't really think a lot about it. And then when it started to get light out in the morning, I started to have a difficult time sleeping, and I kind of rolled onto my side. I was cold, and I was kind of cuddling up, and I felt very distinctly, very, very distinctly, three, like, index finger taps on my shoulder blade, and my back was facing, you know, the outside of the bed, and I was facing inward to the middle of the bed. And I rolled over because I assumed it was going to be my sister-in-law, like, waking me up for some reason. And there was nobody in the room, and the door wasn't even open. And the room was absolutely freezing. So I got all freaked out, and I woke up my husband, and I said, we're going to go for a hike. I have to get out of here. And he was like, it's 5 o'clock in the morning. And I said, I don't care. I'm getting out of here. I can't stay here anymore. So we got up and went for a hike, and then made breakfast for everybody. And as everybody woke up, everybody had a story about the night before. There was the steps going upstairs, but apparently nobody who was staying downstairs had walked upstairs at all for any reason. And my then mother-in-law had gone to the bathroom in the middle of the night, and the doorknob on the bathroom had been jiggling like somebody was trying to get in. And so she like finished up quickly and opened the door, and no one was out on the other side. And then she also said that she woke up in the middle of the night and felt like we were downstairs moving furniture around. Like, we all experienced hearing noises and things happening that we assumed was the business of somebody else. But with the exception of me, which the finger poke thing really freaked me out, and I knew immediately that wasn't right, and left. I honestly didn't even go back in the house. I made my husband get my stuff and bring it back outside, and we left a lot earlier than I was hoping to. I went back into the top floor of the house and made coffee and breakfast, but I just got creeped out, and I wouldn't go back downstairs. But everybody heard the footsteps and thought that it was somebody. But then it sounded like the footsteps had boots. Like, why would any of us be putting shoes on and walking upstairs with a heavy tread in the middle of the night? Except that when you're half asleep and hearing something, you don't really think it through. And so the next day we kind of all shared and got super creeped out. And then family debates ensued about whether or not it would be fun to go back to rent that guest house again. And my vote was no, so I never went back. But that was a really kind of cool experience. The story was that the school teacher who was there for a very long time haunts it. And I actually said to her out loud after she poked me, like, I'm a teacher also, and please leave me alone. But she did after that. But I definitely got out. It was super scary. So that's my other story, if you want to air it. And if you air that one, I'll tell you another one. Love you guys.
Very cool. Very cool. Thank you for sharing that story. Tim, I bet we have a third call coming on today's show. You care to take that wager?
Oh, I'll take that wager.
Oh, really? Remember, I can actually see these. It was an unfair bet, Tim. But you know what's not an unfair bet?
What's that?
Working with betonline.ag. We've been doing it. We're in week 13. Tim, how did we do last week in our picks? We picked five games. How many did we get right last week?
The hand is hot, Dave. 4-1.
Four and one. Games picked correctly,
yeah.
Tim.
Yeah.
Out of five games. This is how Tim Dennis is a multimillionaire, folks.
Not a multimillionaire.
Pet Rocks and Tamagotchi, good investments, and now he just keeps parlaying it into purchasing more and more with betonline.ag. He's making millions, I've been told.
I wish I was.
Yeah, you should be.
I should be.
You've been running hot. You've picked, I think, in the last like 5 weeks, you've missed like three games.
I've been pretty darn good the last few weeks. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not gonna lie. I've been betting, following your lead, and I made a few bucks.
Have you?
I made a few bucks. Yeah. So it's not bad. Huh. Once in a while, I go a little rogue and I try to make my own bet, and then I remember I should just let Tim continue to make the bets. Because that's what we should do. Well, we're at week 13, and it's time to check in on our betonline.ag. Remember, folks, we want to see you play along with us. So go ahead, sign up, and go to betonline.ag. And if you're going to do that, make sure that you use promo code PODCAST1 for a 50% sign-up bonus. BetOnline.ag, your online sportsbook experts, will help you. Whether it's NFL challenges, college football, MLB, NBA, National Hockey League stuff, whatever you want to bet on, they've got a line. They've got it available for you. Tim, we've been battling it out with Corolla, but we're slowly clawing our way up the rungs.
Ah.
You know, it's always, you know, he takes two steps forward and we're one and, you know, an eighth behind him.
Yeah,
but we're slowly catching up. Mm-hmm. Stone Cold Steve Austin. I stopped worrying about that buffoon, Tim. I just have full faith in you.
Aw.
Yeah. Full bet Tim Dennis. Stone Cold Steve Austin and full bet Tim Dennis. Head-to-head contact. And Tim's been knocking him down. He's been holding this guy down for a three-point pin. Is that how you call it, Tim, in wrestling?
A three-count, Dave.
It's three-count. Pin.
Yeah,
that's what Tim's been doing, and we're gonna give him a chance now. Now, a couple of the games have already passed, and you were right. You picked who to win what, Tim?
Dave, I'll tell you, they had me sweating until the very end of the game. Who would have thought that there would have been a third string quarterback for the Lions that would have done well? But we picked the Bears over the Lions on Turkey Day, and it turns out that Mitch Trubisky still had a little bit in the tank. And so we got one down already. We're already one up for the weekend.
It wasn't even like their third choice backup quarterback for Detroit. Did I hear this right? Like the third quarterback got injured on the way there, and they literally had to call this guy up from their practice squad to play that day?
No. He is the third string quarterback.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he's the third stringer.
Maybe I misunderstood in my turkey drunken haze and OD on gravy and cranberry sauce, Tim. That might have been what was going on.
But yeah, he played. He was a starter at Purdue, and they had a little bit of tape on him, but they didn't know too much about him. The Bears, that's for sure. But they ended up getting the win. It was probably the most impressive game of the day, which wasn't saying much.
Yeah, that's for sure. Yeah. It was a good game though. But you got one out of the chute. We've already got right. So what are our other four picks for this weekend? What should people be banking their money on right now, Tim?
All right, Dave. Well, there's a game out there which some people may say, oh, that's a slam dunk, Tim. That's a slam dunk. I don't know. The Bengals are at home, and they're pretty sad, Dave. And they're going to continue to be sad because we picked the Jets over the Bengals. The Jets are not the greatest team in the world either, but hey, someone's got to win this one. So Jets over the Bengals, that's your first one for this weekend. And then our lock of the week. This is the solid gold lock it down. This is a guarantee. You've got those. I know you can't say red hot Redskins because they essentially have only won two games this year. One of them being last week. The Redskins are at home. They're taking on the Carolina Panthers. They had a close one against the Saints last week, in which the Saints just barely won that one at the end. The Panthers, though, they actually are at home, and they've got the Redskins. Look for the Panthers to bounce back in a lock. They're going to win this one 31-17. Be sure to that's your lock game of the week. So, again, Panthers over the Redskins 31-17. Next game we've got the Packers are at the Giants. If there is a gimme game in the NFC North this week, this is it. Look for the Packers to rebound after losing to the 49ers last week. they'll beat the Giants in New York this week. So you've got so far the Jets, the Panthers, and the Packers. And finally, the huge matchup. We're taking a chance on this one this week, Dave. This is the one that we're going out on the ledge with. The big, big, big game in the NFL this week is those red-hot Baltimore Ravens at home taking on the San Francisco 49ers, who are also red-hot. Someone's got to lose in this one. The Ravens are at home, and you've got Lamar Jackson at quarterback, and this kid threw, what was it, 6 touchdown passes on Monday night?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm telling you, Dave, I don't see the Ravens dropping this one at all. The Ravens win at home against the 49ers. So Jets, Panthers, Packers, and Ravens. Remember, the Panthers are a lock, 31-7. Those are your picks for this week.
That's it. The psychic amongst us has spoken, folks. You want the best in paranormal talk radio? Then go with Psychic Tim's Predictions Weekly and see how they parlay out for you. Now, listen, if we win, and we win big in a week, meaning that we picked all 5 and our point spread was closer than anybody else's, well, then we're awarded $500 to give out to listeners of our show that are playing along on betonline.ag. So Tim's been hitting. He's been hitting. And a couple weeks ago, we picked all 5, but our spread was just off by a little bit, and we didn't win that challenge. But you never know. This could be your week. So remember, if you're betting along on betonline.ag, use podcast1 for your 50% sign-up bonus. And then let us know. And if we win all 5, we may be able to award $100 to 5 of our favorite fans that are playing along with us. Plus, there's a $5,000 season-long charity contest going on. It's been a lot of fun for us. I hope you guys are enjoying it as well. Keep watching #SportsNetChallenge on Twitter for updates and be a part of the conversation. BetOnline.ag. Use promo code PODCAST1 for your 50% sign-up bonus. BetOnline.ag, your online sportsbook experts. All right, Tim, where are we going next in the world of supernatural news?
We are going to a place where I don't think I can pronounce any of this stuff. It's got to be Wales, Dave. That's all.
You can't pronounce Wales?
No, Wales is the easiest thing to pronounce in Wales. Everything else is like swiddle bit a little little or something. Yeah. I don't know.
I spent a week there once.
Did you?
In swiddle biddle diddle diddle.
In swiddle biddle diddle diddle?
Uh-huh.
Did they know how to pronounce it?
Yep, you got it right on the swiddle biddle diddle diddle. You got it.
At least that's something. Yep. Ghostly voices of children heard as paranormal team checks out an old furnace. Don't ever climb in the furnace, by the way. It's a horrible place to look.
Yeah.
For yeah.
No bueno. No good, senor or senoritas.
Just saying, rule 1 in ghost hunting 101, don't climb in the furnace. Probably a bad place. Because somebody could light it, just saying. There were sightings of a shadowy figure in the workshop as they went looking for ghosts. Girls' voices were some of the ghostly things paranormal investigators encountered when they staged a spook hunt near Swadlincote. I believe it was Swadlincote, something like that. You can swaddle all you want. You can swaddle your friends behind. Is that how that goes? Is that the song, Dave?
You can dance if you want to. Oh. You can leave your friends behind because your friends don't dance. And if they don't dance, they're no friends of mine, Tim.
I see. That's how it goes. Thousands of people watched the Haunted Lives Facebook video, which was recorded live at Mora Furnace Museum near Swadlincote, I think. I don't know. The 5 Strong Haunted Live from Nottingham take part in paranormal investigations and ghost hunts across the UK. And what they found at the old furnace site is very spooky. They have told Burton Live that during the night they were there and heard whistles and girls' voices while one of them saw a ghostly shadow. The furnace is well known for previous accounts of paranormal activity. The furnace was built in 1804 by the Earl of Mora to take advantage of the local area's coal and iron. Many ghost hunts have been held there, and many report of hearing what they believe to be voices. There also have been sightings of shadowy figures spotted in the building's workshops. Spirits are also said to have been seen by visitors wandering through the nearby woodland. Paul Stevenson from Haunted Lives said, "We choose Moira because it is one of the hidden gems on our doorstep that needs people to be made more aware of day or night. There is so much history and mystery all over the UK, and in regards to the paranormal, we are really just scratching the surface. There are so many more locations to be discovered. While the furnace may have had odd paranormal inquiry there, and there is relatively untapped at the moment. On the night, we heard whistles, girls' voices, and during the night, the energy or whatever was there started to get a bit darker and nastier at times. A few of us there were touched. One of us saw a shadow and someone in a corner. One of us saw the shadow of someone in a corner. One of us followed someone up the stairs thinking it was one of the team, but we were all elsewhere. It was a great place and worthy of many investigations. It's probably the first time we've all experienced solo things rather than as a group, which was good, they went on to say. Every building has a potential to be haunted, whether it is or not. That's the question that we love finding out. Mr. Stevenson even praised Moira's operations supervisor, Tom Phillips, saying he is a forward thinker who realizes that Moira's furnace can appeal to people in the daytime and also at night. Haunted Lives team is made up of Mr. Stevenson, as well as James Pikett, Simon Powell, Andy Soar, and Jason Wall. The original furnace was built in 1804, thanks to the area's rich coal and iron industry, and soon failed due to faults in its structural design, but it's well-preserved. By 1811, the blast furnace had closed, but it continued to operate as an iron foundry for 30 years. The building was converted into four small cottages for mine workers in the 1820s, with the last residents moving out in the 1970s. It's since been used by old rangers for the site, and most recently now houses the Moira Furnace Museum and County Park. It is also a protected schedule monument and is a nationally important archaeology site or historic building granted protection against unauthorized change.
All right, we've got another call. Let's round it out with our final call of the day, and we hope not the final call of the year. We want to continue to hear your calls, 651-300-4977. Time to go back now to our Voices from Beyond voicemail.
Hi, Dave and Tim. I love your podcast so much. Just got through listening to the episode where you're talking about your presentation at your high school. But what you described to me as far as your illness and the symptoms you were having reminds me of what just recently happened to my husband, 47, and he just had a heart attack. And this isn't really anything that I'm calling about to be recorded for your show, but it just really struck me because the symptoms that you just described are exactly what he went through. He hadn't eaten. And he had a few drinks. I know you didn't say you had a few drinks before your presentation, but he had nausea all of a sudden, and then he felt like he was on fire. He threw up, and we went to the emergency room, and he was having a heart attack. I just so concerned because I wanted to pass that along to you, and I'm not trying to be dramatic. I'm sorry if it sounds dramatic, but I just wanted to share that with you, and obviously you're okay because I'm listening to this late because I'm behind on your show right now, but listening today and just wanted to pass that along. I hope that you went to the doctor afterwards, and I know you're fine now because you already have, you know, a few more shows posted. But just please take care of yourself, and just wanted to share that with you. My name is April from Georgia. Thanks.
All right, let's get back into it. Tim, where are we off to next?
We're going to Epping, Dave.
Epping?
Epping, yeah.
Epping. All right, what's going on in Epping?
I don't know where Epping is, Dave. I have no idea. I'm just saying.
I'm guessing it's in, like, England-ish area.
I don't know. It's in New Hampshire.
Oh, yeah, that's what I meant. New Englandish area.
Yeah, New England.
Trying to say.
Is that what it was, Dave?
Yeah, New Englandish.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Public access video captures a ghostly movement in the Epping Town Hall. Someone's got to clean that up. You know what I mean, Dave?
I probably do.
Long believed to be haunted, Epping Town Hall is enjoying another 15 seconds of supernatural fame thanks to public access cable. And if it weren't for public access cable, half the people in the nation wouldn't think they were famous. Just saying, because, you know, a lot of people like to have their little fuzzy fame. Just saying. Things had quieted down since ghost hunters investigated the 19th century brick building 6 years ago, but on Monday night, during a regular broadcast of a selectmen's meeting, a mysterious happening was captured on video that has town administrator Greg Dodge and others a little spooked. Near the end of the televised meeting, a piece of paper sitting flat in front of Dodge suddenly lifts up twice and then lands on the microphone in front of him. Dodge was looking towards selectmen at the time, and neither he nor anyone else seemed to notice the paper move until they later watched the recording. Over the years, Dodge has heard creepy noises when he's been alone at town hall, once even called the cops, which is remarkable considering Dodge used to be the town's longtime police chief. Evidently, he needed backup. There appears to be no explanation for the paper moving, as there's no heating vent or fans that would have caused it, Dodge said. The only fans used are ceiling fans, but they're always on low and don't blow paper sitting on the table. It's a mystery. I don't know if it could have I don't know how it could have happened, he went on to say. Joyce Blanchard, the board's executive secretary, was sitting next to Dodge and was off camera, but she made no motions that could have moved the papers, that according to Dodge. Blanchard, who didn't see the paper move during the meeting, was stunned when she later watched the video. She said she and many others have long believed that the spirit of the late Judge Kendall Chase is present in the historic building. It once held his courtroom. I absolutely believe it, and there's no way I wouldn't believe Greg. Other things have happened that make me believe it, Blanchard said. Dodge said he was startled on Tuesday night when he was alone at town hall and he suddenly heard voices. He said he came out of his office, looked around the building, and checked the security cameras to see if anyone was outside, but no one was around. Unusual happenings inside town hall led to 8 investigators from Dark Knights Paranormal of Manchester spending the night there in 2013. In a report provided to the town, investigators documented hearing voices, seeing a dark shadow moving in the area where the judge's bench once sat, and witnessing an unexplained white mist. They reported that although no hard evidence was found during the investigation, the amount of personal experiences the team had led them to believe that there just may be something paranormal going on at the location. The report noted that the most unusual experience was the sound of a man's voice and a shuffling sound coming from where the original judge's bench stood. The noises stopped whenever anyone approached the area, that according to the report.
All right, our next story.
Next story includes paranormal activity spooking police who were interrogating a mystic accused of hundreds of sexual assaults. Confused you might be after this episode of Soap.
Wow. Obscure reference of the week goes to Tim Dennis.
I thought you might like that one.
Yeah.
A Brazilian medium, as opposed to Brazilian large.
Full Brazilian, yeah.
Which is quite a bit more area. A Brazilian large, which is quite a bit more surface area. Just saying. Brazilian medium, Brazilian large. Accused of sexually assaulting over 300 women may or may not have had something to do with some very unusual and spooky activity during his police interrogation. A series of unusual events took place during the two-hour interview with João Teixeira de Faria, who is also known as...
Bless you.
Yeah. John of God on Sunday night in Brazil. Police describe a number of bizarre instances, including a computer crashing, a printer starting to print pages on its own, and a fridge blowing up. I plugged the lead of the air conditioning into an extension shared with a mini fridge, and the electrical wiring suddenly exploded, burning out the fridge. Everyone in the room screamed with fright, Fernandez said. It wasn't just the interrogation where unusual activity was reported. As the media gathered outside the medium's house before he surrendered on Sunday, rumors spread about evil spirits, and when a reporter suddenly fell ill, people feared there was some paranormal activity going on there, too. Teixeira denies sexually abusing hundreds of women around the world, including his own daughter, under the pretense of healing through miracle surgeries. He was once interviewed by Oprah and has and says he once treated President Bill Clinton. There you go.
Treated for what? Chlamydia?
Oh!
Oh, sorry about that. All right. Anyway, where are we up to next?
We go to TV land. Dave, The Dead Files is returning for a new season on Travel Channel.
Woohoo!
The Dead Files are reopened as the series returns for a new season in December. Let me get that back again. I'll rewind. Join medium Amy Allen and retired NYPD homicide detective Steve DeShavi as they travel the country helping individuals cope with overwhelming paranormal activity. The Dead Files are one of the cornerstones of Travel Channel's paranormal programming. For 12 seasons, physical medium Amy Allen and former NYPD homicide detective Steve DeShavi have investigated numerous hauntings around the country. Together, they help families who are besieged by overwhelming paranormal activity. This isn't a ghost hunting series. Yes, Amy does walkthroughs of houses that are that they're investigating, but she is gathering information for the clients. While she has utilized her abilities in the past to assist spirits in moving on, she now primarily focuses on finding out why the hauntings are occurring so she can advise the homeowners whether or not they should stay or go. Prior to Amy doing her walkthrough, Steve will visit the victims of the spirit activity to interview them. Using his detective skills, he finds out what is happening to the clients. He and Amy do not confer with one another until after the reveals are done at the end of each episode. DeShavi will also research the various homeowners' properties to find out if there are external factors outside the dwelling that could be contributing to the hauntings. More often than not, when Amy presents the results of her walkthroughs to the client, Steve usually has names and faces to associate with her information. According to Travel Channel's press release, the season premiere will feature a family in Toledo, Ohio, that has been beleaguered by aggressive paranormal activity. While Steve is doing research, he uncovers a series of grisly murders attached to the client's property. Amy, on the other hand, interacts with a malevolent entity who is intent on harming the family inside the home. Will Amy have advice for the client so that they can remain in the home, or will she tell them to move on? The new season of Dead Files is on the Travel Channel, and the first episode is Tuesday, December 3rd at 9 p.m.
Very cool. Good to see our friends back from Dead Files, back with a new season. Just waiting to hear if we get a second season on the old Holzer Files. Yeah. So keep your fingers crossed, folks. Keep tuning in, checking it out. We got another brand new episode coming in. I think we're down to our last two or three. That's it. Get them while they're hot, kids. Travel Channel Thursday nights. The Holzer Files. All right, Tim, where are we off to next?
There's a new exhibit at the National Archives, which explores government UFO documents. The U.S. Air Force ended the two-decade-plus-long UFO investigation known as Project Blue Book 50 years ago this week, deciding that, among other things, that no sighting or evidence had managed to represent technological developments or principles beyond the range of present-day scientific knowledge. If you believe that, you may not be the target audience for the National Archives' new exhibit, which will place some of Project Blue Book's documents on display in the Archives' East Rotunda Gallery. Project Blue Book has maintained a spot in some parts of the American psyche, including a History Channel series named for it, and another unidentified Inside America's UFO investigation, executive produced by former Blink-182 member Tom DeLonge. DeLonge has emerged as a somewhat unexpected expert on ufology. The Air Force still considers 701 of the sightings reported to it during the investigation as unidentified. The documents will be on display from December 5th of this year through January 8th of next year. The National Archives Museum is at 701 Constitution Avenue. And there you go. That's the end of the story.
That's it?
That's it. It's short and sweet, I guess.
We're coming into the end of our stories for today. Where are we off to next, sir?
Our final story has to do with a satanic cult and fears of it in New Forest. After animals are attacked and sprayed with symbols, a sheep is killed and several cows are wounded, while the graffiti of an inverted cross and the number 666 is sprayed on a church. There are fears that modern-day Satanists are targeting animals in the New Forest. In the New Forest, it says here, after a spate of suspected attacks, police were investigating after a sheep was killed and sprayed with occult symbols, while several cows were also wounded in the woodlands in Hampshire. A church door was also sprayed with satanic signs. The dead ewe, which was suffered a puncture wound to the side, was found in Bramshaw on November 19th with a pentagram painted on its side, a star on its face, along with an inverted cross and the number 666, which is linked to the devil. In the same week, a heifer was discovered with a wound to its neck, and two calves had injuries to their shoulders in the Bramshaw and Linwood areas. Meanwhile, on November 20th, the graffiti of an inverted cross and the number 666 was found on the door of the St. Peter's Church in Bramshaw. A woman who asked not to be named after finding the dead sheep said the discovery was sickening. "I was genuinely shocked to find someone like, or something like that in the forest. I couldn't believe it," she said. "Why would somebody do this to a sheep? The poor thing. There are some strange people around." Reverend David Bacon, a vicar of Bramshaw, said the attacks on the animals have left people disturbed and scared. He added, We have had very, very minor incidents in the past, little bits of graffiti. It doesn't happen very often, nothing like this." Tony Hockley, chairman of the Commoners Defense Association, which represents those who keep animals in the New Forest, said the area had a historic association with witchcraft. "Any harm to commoners' animals is a huge concern," he said. "Commoning in the New Forest is a voluntary activity, and many do it around our day jobs, so any attack on animal is a huge deterrent to continuing allowing animals to graze in the New Forest, so anything like this is extremely worrying for the future of New Forest." Mr. Hockley said he was not aware of a history of occult incidents in the area, but added the New Forest, like many rural areas, has a historical association with witchcraft, so that draws some people and some of the local shops trade on that, but it's normally more about fairies. Sergeant Andy Williams of Hampshire Police said, "These incidents are unusual in the New Forest. We are looking at the circumstances of each one to see if they are linked and to see how these animals came to be injured." So there you go.
All right, that's it for this week. Another week has passed, and we appreciate you tuning in to check out our supernatural news. Spend a little time with us, because we enjoy sharing these stories and unusual experiences with you, our lovely listeners. We've got another brand new show tomorrow. I hope you'll tune in and check it out with us right here on the best in paranormal talk radio. And please remember to help support the best in true crime talk radio by subscribing right now. I know it sounds like just a jive joke and we're kidding around a lot, but it really does help us in supporting the True Crime Tuesday show, keeps this show on the air as well. So if you could please subscribe to True Crime Tuesday, you'll continue to get 4 episodes every month, plus all of our archives going back 2.5-3 years that have over, I think, 130 episodes now. It's a lot of great content, a lot of fantastic shows, interesting guests week in, week out. Go check it out. Subscribe to it. You can find more information at darknessradio.com. We'll be back again tomorrow with more of the best in paranormal talk radio. This is Beyond the Darkness.
Into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.